Well, good morning. It's great to see you guys doing. How y'all doing this morning? All right. How's everybody in Knoxville doing? Right? It's good to see you guys. We are one church in two locations. I've been out the last week, and so it's been good to hear from Pastor Todd and Pastor Alex. Both did a great, amazing job. My wife and I did something I want to encourage you and your spouse to do, which is to get away. It's so good every now and then just to kind of get away. And we like to take two different kinds of trips. We don't do it enough, so I'm not a good example on this. But we like to take what I would like to call a Presbyterian trip. That's the predetermined, predestined trip. You plan it. You take your kids with you. Every day there's an itinerary in a day. And then we like to take the Pentecostal trip. And on that trip, no kids go. There's a lot of speaking in tongues and laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm in a great mood today. Why am I here? Let's go back. It's good to laugh and at church. I'm glad you're here. We have been in a series called Let's Go. And in this Let's Go series, we have had, are you ready for this? 700 people serve our community. That's something to praise God for today. So, so great. And so we are well towards the goal that we had. We wanted, and we've been praying for, 1,000 people to serve our community. And so that means we need 300 more people here in Maryville and in Knoxville. And so if you have served, but you haven't let us know, please let us know today in the atrium. Oh yeah, we served and we went here and we were a part. Make sure you report that. But then secondly, if you haven't served, let's go. Let's go. You got two more weeks to give an hour or 2 hours and serve. Our staff went to Carm this past week and served together, had a great time. You can go there. We've got a project on Saturday to come to the church and do some yard work and some projects here that you can help with. So you got 2 weeks. We need 300 people. Let's do it. I think we can do it. I think it's going to be a great opportunity. And so when we go, we have been saying this through the series that when faith works, it goes. And we're not saved by our work. We're not saved by doing good things. We're saved by faith. But when our faith is genuine, it is working, that means we are going. And so for each of us, as we've been going through this series, we've been kind of working through the book of James. We've seen how this plays out in our life, that when faith is working, we are going, we are working for the Lord. Today in James chapter 4, the title is Make a Good Plan That Honors God. Make a good plan that honors God. If you have a Bible, let's go to James chapter 4. How many of you are planners? Let me see your hands. You're a planner. Now, what I've kind of recognized in counseling marriages and just being, you know, around couples a lot is there's usually a planner and a non-planner in the relationship. And the planner will plan the vacation. They will set the itinerary for the week. They'll get the tickets. They'll get the passports. They'll do research on things to do in the area, and they'll get reservations for that. They'll get reservations for where we're going to eat and what we're going to do. They'll plan the whole thing, right? And then the night before the trip, the non-planner will say, "And where are we going tomorrow?" Right? It's just kind of how it works, right? The non-planner is just like enjoying life, and the planner's like in the airport, you know, like rushing through the airport and just like on a mission. And that's usually kind of how it works. And so what's interesting is that God is a planner. I mean, when you read Genesis 1 through 3, you see that God had a plan. He created something specific and in order every single day. When Adam and Eve sinned, he wasn't shocked in the sense that, oh, I didn't see that coming. Of course he knew it was coming. And he actually already had a plan for our salvation, his son Jesus. When we read the Bible, we see guys like Moses followed a plan. Let my people go. And if you don't let them go, then that's not going to go well for you. God has a plan called the plagues that you're not going to enjoy. Nehemiah had a plan on how to rebuild the wall, a very strategic plan that he followed. Even Jesus's life, his entire ministry was part of a plan. He identified 12 men, intentionally developed them and poured into them so that they would carry on the mission after his resurrection. And so we see in the Bible that it gives us instructions on how to make a good plan as well. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?" Now, obviously, we've heard this. If you've been in church, you've got to count the cost. If you're going to build a home, if you're going to buy property, if you're going to buy, you know, property and buy a counseling center, a building to turn into a counseling center, you've got to count the cost. Do we have enough money to actually do this? In Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." So a good plan has advisors around it as well. So making a plan for your future is a good thing. But in James chapter 4, we're going to see three keys to making a plan, a good plan that God honors or that will honor God. And so let's look at the last part of chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. This is super, super practical today. So verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin." Now, at first glance, when you read this first sentence, the plan sounds great. I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, I'm a planner, and so I read this, and I think, man, it's really kind of got all the components of a good plan. Today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such town, spend a year there, trade, make a profit. Sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, he starts with why we're going. Why are we going? We're going to make a profit. Hey, sounds good to me. Sounds good to you, right? He says what we're going to do, right? That's part of a good plan. What are we doing? Well, we're going to go there and we're going to trade, right? That's the what. He talks about the when. When are we going to do this, right? There's got to be a good time frame when you make a plan. And he says we're going to go today or tomorrow. He talks about where we're going. So he talks about a specific town that we're going to go to in order to do this business. And then he actually says how long we're going to be there. We're going to be there for a year. So you look at that and you say, what's wrong with that, man? Sounds like a good plan. On the surface, there's nothing wrong with this. I like the outline that he's got going here, but the problem is he's got the why, the what, the when, the where, the how long, but the problem is, where's God? Where's God in this plan? And the reality is God is not present in this plan, and that's the big issue with it. And so if we're going to make a plan, we need to make sure we commit to total dependence on God. So if you're making a business plan, if you're making a family plan, when you're making your financial plan, right? Every area of your life, your spiritual plan, your physical plan, in every category of your life, it's a good thing to make a plan. But when we make this plan, the first key is that we have total dependence on God. The first part of this, of the verse is absent of God. And so he says, instead of doing that type of prayer, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, and God is not there. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or that. That's a huge shift. That's a huge shift in how you speak and how you think, that you would be able to commit total dependence on God, and you would start to say, yeah, we're going to do this if the Lord wills. Now, I mean, we do this all the time because we ask each other, what are you doing this weekend? Where, you know, what's your plan for next month? You know, what's the summer look like for you guys? We ask this question to each other all the time. At work, you're always asking this question. Hey, what's it going to take to get to the next level? Hey, what's it going to take to increase our profit? Hey, what's it going to take to do this or to do that? We're asking each other that question. And as a faithful follower of Jesus, when we answer that question, we need to make sure that we're inserting the phrase, if the Lord wills, God willing, if Jesus allows this, if God allows this, here's what I think and what I feel we should do. You say, oh, should I do that in my job? Absolutely, you should. Absolutely. I think a lot of times what people do is they try to compartmentalize their life. And they say, well, this is, you know, my business life, and I don't take my faith into the business. This is my family life, and, you know, we don't really talk about God in our family. You know, this is my gym life, and I don't, you know, when I go to the gym, I just go there to work out, right? We compartmentalize our life, and that's not faithful living. That's not what it looks like to have Jesus in your life. The old preacher once said, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So in every area of your life, Jesus must be the Lord. He is and we must acknowledge him as such. So if the Lord wills, right? There's no mention of God in the first part of this verse, and that is the problem. And so if you're gonna make this plan, your attitude has to be, yes, I'm gonna seek God. I'm gonna abide in Christ as I make this plan, but I'm also going to admit total dependence upon God in the process. A lot of people just simply don't seek the Lord for direction. They seek the dollar sign. They assume if I'm going to make more money, then it's the Lord's will. You know, should I take this job or that job, or which job pays more? Okay, I feel like that's the Lord's will. That's not how a Christian and a follower of Jesus thinks. It's first acknowledging and committing to God. And really, that's the key, right? That's the key, if you want to write this down, is we have to learn to acknowledge God with our mind, with our voice, acknowledging God, right? If the Lord wills, that's a part of our vocabulary. That's how we start to communicate, right? Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So acknowledging God is this idea that we ask him what he wants us to do. And then as we follow him, we're depending on him. And so we recognize our life is really in the hands of God. Our plans are in his hands. And so it makes sense for us to ask God what he wants us to do, and it makes sense for us to depend upon him as we do it. And so as we are acknowledging God, we are recognizing, he says, that we are actually going to live. And then we have the ability to do this or that, he says, when we do that. And so, yeah, that's dependence on God, because our very life is dependent on him. So it's not, we're going to do this and we're going to go there. No. We're gonna say it differently. We're going to acknowledge God, and we're going to say, if the Lord wills, then we think we're going to do this, and we think this is going to happen. We include that phrase in our everyday life, and that's life-changing. It's attitude-changing. We get in the habit of acknowledging God in our conversations. Now, you don't have to go full East Tennessee on me. Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, you know, it's like, doesn't matter if the creek rises, that don't matter. Just cut it off. Lord willing, that's all we gotta say, right? That's acknowledging God, and that's acknowledging our total dependence on him. And so the question is, do my words reflect a dependence on God, or do my words reflect a dependence on my strategy? That's a huge shift. Because I think a lot of us struggle with that, especially the planners in the room. You're really good at it. You're really strategic. And if you're not careful, you're leaning upon your own understanding instead of confessing, instead of acknowledging that this is what God is directing us to do. Now, the second step that we see here is in verse 16. And I think it's this idea of maintaining a humble attitude. So we make a plan, right? We're going to acknowledge God. We're gonna commit total dependence on him, right? And then we're gonna maintain a humble attitude. In verse 16, he's saying, because the attitude and the words were, we're gonna go to this town, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that, and God is absent, because of that attitude, because of that way of communicating, he says, you're boasting in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Ouch. when we talk like that and we exclude God from our language, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, right? He's saying it is evil, right? When you make a plan without seeking God, without acknowledging God, you're being arrogant. You're boasting in your own knowledge. You're being arrogant in what you think you should do. And guess what? He says it is evil, right? And so the reality is we've got to make sure that as we think we are following God's plan, we maintain a humble attitude. It's like you think you can get by in life without God's help. When we're not humble, it's like, well, this is the plan. I don't need God. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it out of my own strength. And God says, hey, if you're making a plan without me, if you're not humble before me during this time, relying upon me, then it's evil. Now think about it. When you make a business plan, you've got to surrender your plan to God. And you got to say, Lord willing. And as you say, Lord willing, based upon what God wants, you're saying your will be done. This is what I think we're going to do, Lord willing. But God, I'm also surrendering this plan to you. I'm going to be humble in this, assuring and recognizing that God, you're in control. God, you're the one directing me. This is our family plan. This is our plan for our marriage and where we're going to live and what our job is, Lord. But we're surrendering this plan to you because you might change things, right? When I pray about decisions in my own life, I say, God, I'm an idiot, so please just close the door. Make it really clear. And he will so often. He'll just close doors, and it's just like I can't get through them, right, to direct me towards the reality of where he wants me to go. And so we've got to remain humble. And here's the key. If we're going to be and remain humble, the key is to be flexible. You know, you've made a plan, and then something happens, right? Your plan is disrupted. How do you respond when the plan is disrupted? When it doesn't go according to plans, then there's usually a lot of anger and frustration and blaming and pointing fingers and you were supposed to buy the tickets and you were supposed to get the passports and you were supposed to do this and why didn't you pay that? And you know what I mean? It's just like constantly pointing fingers at another person and blaming someone. The key, and I think this is a huge attitude adjustment for us, and it might seem small, but it's actually a total mind shift here and a completely different attitude. And it's this idea that our attitude is that, yeah, we're following your plan, Lord. It's submitted to you. And we're going to remain humble by being flexible. So based upon the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our life, as we're reading the Bible, as we're praying, as we're abiding in Christ, as we're getting outside counsel, I'm going to seek to follow your guidance. So Lord willing, this is the plan. But Lord, I'm willing to you changing things. And when things do change, we're flexible. If the Lord allows this to happen, we'll go, we'll do that. If it seems like the Lord isn't opening up the opportunity, seems like another door has been opened, then we have to be flexible and we have to go where he's leading us. It's a flexible plan. That requires faith. It requires a consistent relationship with Christ, trusting him, abiding in him each step of the journey. Of course, planning is required. A strategy is required. But at the same time, we've got to be flexible and wait on God's timing. And when he changes things, when he disrupts things, we've got to adjust and trust. I didn't see this coming, Lord. This was what I thought was going to happen in my marriage. This was the direction and the plan that we had together. But things have changed, Lord. And I'm going to adjust and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend upon you. I think a lot of times when there's a detour in our plans, a disruption in our plan, I sense there's at least two ways that we typically respond. And the first response is when things begin to detour and change from what we thought was supposed to happen, there's a group of us that just seeks to like want to control it, the situation. And so there's this, you know, kind of take the bull by the horns attitude, and I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to do this, and man, we're going to make this. right? And so then we start controlling, and then all of a sudden we've left God and we've left prayer and we've left the counsel of other people. And all of a sudden, it's just us making decisions and us trying to grasp control. But what we have to understand is that most of the detours in the plan that happen in your life, it's actually God bringing that detour. It's actually God bringing that disruption. And God's point of bringing that disruption into your life is to grow you and to mature you. And so if you're fighting against that detour and you're trying to get back to what you think is right, what we end up doing is fighting the will of God. We're fighting God himself, and God's like, man, I'm giving you the opportunity to take you where I know you want to go. So maybe it's embracing this detour in your life and asking God, God, what are you trying to teach me and show me? And that takes humility, right? It takes flexibility to get on your knees and say, thy will be done. This is not what I wanted. This is not how I saw it coming together, Lord, but your will be done. Whatever it takes to get me where you want me to be, I'll do it. That's humility, right? We're either going to control things or seek to control things, or we let the detours in our life totally discourage us, and then we just want to quit, right? And so we want to quit the marriage, or we want to quit the business, and we just want to give up, and we just want to quit, right? If you get discouraged, you're going to be tempted to quit. You lose the focus. You lose the purpose for why you started it in the first place, why you're doing this in the first place. And so we see this all the time. You know, here was the plan, God. We said we wanted a baby. We didn't talk about adoption. God, I said I wanted to be married by 30, and here I am 35, and I'm still not married. What's up with that? We wanted to get discouraged, or we want to control the situation, try to force relationships. Right? We wanted to be further along financially. I said $1 million, God, and here I'm not even close to making that kind of money. And so we either get discouraged and give up, or we just try to control the situation and right? We've got to be humble. We've got to be flexible so that the Lord can teach us what he wants us to learn, right? And when you are humble, you can then be flexible. You're never going to be flexible to what God is trying to do in your life if you're not humble. So humility is huge. You say, God, I trust you in this season. I trust you are working. My faith is in you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to trust you. Your will be done. And this is a big reason why we've got to be flexible is verse 14. I mean, this is huge. You've read this before. You see this, right? He says, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. As we make a plan, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? He says, you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes, right? Your life is a mist. The original Greek word for mist here is the word atmos. And it's where we get our word atmosphere. And so it means your life is a vapor. It's a breath. It's a puff of smoke. We're here today. We are gone tomorrow. I think it's important for us not to assume that we have a lot of time left. We've got to live our life as if we understand this scripture. Like one of the biggest mistakes we make is we say, oh, I got plenty of time to do that. We'll get around to that one day. And so then we procrastinate. But I think James is here saying, look, you're a mist. You're here today. You are gone tomorrow, right? You might be thinking that you're young and you got plenty of time to get right with God and you're just having a good time and living in sin. And one day you'll get older and you'll worry about God later. You're a mist. You have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. You may not make it till tomorrow. You may not have time to get right with God. That's why he says, make the decision today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. But we love to procrastinate. We love to put things off. And when we put things off, we're basically ignoring God. We're not humble. And we're just basically saying, you know what? I got plenty of time. The reminder from James is no, you don't, right? Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. He rose from the grave to prove that you can trust him. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to turn from your sin and give your life to Jesus, right? We don't want to put things off that we know we're supposed to do today. Our life is a missed. You don't know what tomorrow brings. That reminds me of the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. The story that Jesus is telling is that the guy is so wealthy, he has so many crops. Instead of being generous to people, he's like, what am I going to do with all these crops? And he builds bigger barns. And so he builds and you know, creates more storage units. And then he stores his food and his crops, his wealth in those barns. And in verse 19, it says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? God is saying essentially in this story that, you know, you don't know what tomorrow brings. Instead of storing up all this wealth, you're going to be gone tonight. Your soul is going to be required tonight. Who's going to get it? I'll tell you who's going to get it. In America, Joe Biden's going to get it. Capital gains tax, you know, right? Like, you got to figure this out. But anyway, I think the point for us is what he's trying to teach in that parable is to be generous. Don't just build more and more wealth and build bigger barns to store all of your stuff. You don't get to take any of that stuff with you. You don't get to take any toys, any of that stuff with you. He says, be generous today because life is unpredictable. You only get one shot. None of us know what's going to happen tonight, much less this year. Wars could break out here in our country. The economy could get worse, could get even more bad or more terrible than it is. Right? We don't know what's going to happen. Your friends could leave you. None of us know what's going to happen in life. It's unpredictable, right? Many of you work on commission, and so it's feast or famine. You know, one year you are feasting and living, you know, high on the hog or whatever it's called. Next year it's a famine, right? We don't know. Our time is short, and so we want to make the best decision we know today. That means we've got to be humble. We've got to be flexible. And then thirdly, very clearly, we need to execute the next step of faith. We've got to execute the next step of faith, right? He says in verse 17, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. If you know the right thing to do and you fail to do it, it is sin. Now notice it says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. What God leads me to do is what God leads me to do. It may not be what God's calling you to do. Now, there are some general principles in the Bible that God calls all of us to do. But specifically when we make a plan, this is the direction I feel God is leading me and my family. Right? And if I don't do that, it's sin if I don't do it. For you, when you know that God is leading you to do something and you don't do it, he says, it's sin. We've all experienced this, right? We've all done this. We've known what we're supposed to do, but we have failed to do it. James says, if you know what to do and you don't act on it, then you're in sin. You don't have to know all the steps. I think for some of us, we want to know the whole plan. Before I take any step, before I do anything, Lord, I need more information. And God says, this doesn't work that way. You execute the next step that you know to take. You take that step and you'll see more of it unfold before you. But we've all procrastinated. We've put things off. And James says that is a trap. Just because you know the right thing to do doesn't mean that you're going to actually do it. So whatever God has put in your heart to do, get after it today. Whatever he is calling you to do, stop waiting around. Yes, pray. Yes, be flexible. Yes, abide in Christ as you plan, but get after it. Stop waiting around. Don't wait for the perfect scenario. It's never going to be perfect timing. Don't wait on the right president to get elected. My life doesn't depend on the economy. My life depends on my faith in Jesus Christ. What God is calling you to do today, do it. Procrastination is a subtle trap. We'll say, oh, someday I'll do it, or one of these days I'm going to get around to it, and we never get around to it. Time flies. Before you know it, your kids are 18 and graduating and moving out, right? We wanted to do all these things, but now it's too late. I think the key to move through this, the key to execute the next step is for us to be faithful now, right now. Be faithful today, right here, right now, in what you believe God is calling you to do. That's the key. If you want to take that next step, you be faithful now. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you have it now with you." The point is, if somebody comes and asks you for a favor, the point is, don't tell them, "Hey, maybe tomorrow or maybe another day." If you have it in your power to help them right then, do it right then. That's the point of the proverb, right? Remember the story that Jesus told about the parable of the talents? The master comes and gives one talent to one man, five to another, 10 to another. He left and he comes back 10 years later. The first two guys had doubled their money. But then the third guy buried his money. And the master says, "You wicked servant. Like, what did you do? You should have at least put it into a savings account and gotten a little bit of interest." He calls him wicked. Why does he call him wicked? Because he did nothing with the money that his master had given to him. You see, when you do nothing with your money, it is sin. When you do nothing for God with your talents, it is sin. When you do nothing in your life for God, it is sin. So whatever you intend to do for the Lord, do it now. Stop waiting. If you need to give your life to Jesus, stop waiting. If you need to get baptized, stop waiting. If you need to take a step of faith and start serving, do it now. Do and be faithful to what God is calling you to do now. If you need to go home today and tell your spouse you are sorry and admit your failure and your sin, do it now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you feel like it. You're never gonna feel like it. You do what God is calling you to do. If it's witnessing to a friend, inviting them to church, do it now. If it's teaching a class or getting involved in a Bible study, do it now. You know, if it's starting to tithe and be generous to God's church, do it now. If it's serving for Let's Go Month, do it now, right? Don't put it off. Do what God is calling you to do. Now, as a church, our 2024 vision, we've had to be flexible. I mean, for the last couple of years, we've prayed that God would give us land and that God would help us and give us the ability to have a building for a counseling center. It's just part of the vision and just passion that we've had. And you know, we've been looking next door. God, that's what we're asking you for. All the while, God's like, "Well, I've got a different plan. We're gonna go across the street. That's the plan." Right, we can say, "Okay, God, that's a great opportunity and all, but no, we said over here. That's actually what we wanted." And that would be unfaithful, wouldn't it? We go through the door of opportunity that God gives to us. You know, when God opens up this door, we say, "Okay, Lord, if this is where you want me to go and this is what you want us to do, then we'll be faithful to do it." Right? So we've had to be flexible along in this journey. We can refuse. We can say, "Nah, God, we don't want to do this," right? And just reject the opportunity that he's given to us, but I think we would be unfaithful if we did so. We can refuse to give financially, and we can say, "Actually, God, I have a different financial plan for my life. I'm gonna kind of spend it, you know, on my family and not, you know, do what you want to do in my church for this city." We could do that. Based on the vision offering, based on what we as a church give, we wanna move forward with this. We've got enough, if we have enough people who want our church to have a biblical counseling center, then we'll have one. It's just gonna require all of us to give something. Right now, the door is open. By the way, if you don't want to go to a church that you know challenges you to give financially, so that you can do big things for God, there's plenty of churches out there for you to choose. You can go to them, but we believe that God is leading us to actually make a difference in our community. And so that's just going to require sacrificial giving in order to make a difference like this. And so we plan, and with much prayer and with God's guidance, abiding in him, we wait on his timing. And after the last couple of years, he has finally given us this opportunity. So we take this next step that we know to do. And for the last 2 years, we've been talking about this and praying about this. And because of last year's vision offering, we were able to hire a counselor. We're actually able to also hire a resident who's helping with the counseling ministry. We've been able to train mentors and in the process of training other counselors right now, getting prepared for the future. So all of these things, great and good things that I'm excited about and glad that God has allowed us to do this. Now we know the next step. God has given us this opportunity that we prayed for, and so we got to raise some money in order to actually do it. One thing I love about this church is that every time we said, hey, we believe God is leading us to do this and we've asked people to give, we've actually done everything that we said we're going to do. Hey, give, we're going to buy a building called Thunder World. People gave, we bought the building. Hey, give, and we're going to renovate this space for kids and for an auditorium. People gave, and we did it. Hey, give, we're going to build a new auditorium. People gave, and we did it. Hey, give, and we're going to start a brand new church in Knoxville. People gave, and we did it. I say all this for the new people in our church who are thinking, can we trust this guy? Can we trust this church? You know, if you give, we're going to do what we say we're going to do. I love that about our church. Every year we have an outside agency do an audit. We pass with flying colors. Every month our elders look at our finances. They see where every single penny is spent. They see it every month and hold us accountable. So yeah, I think you can trust us. And I think when we recognize the impact of what a biblical counseling center could do for our community, I think of stories like, you know, maybe, you know, 5-10 years from now, when your kids have grown up and they get married and they're having some marriage issues and they're thinking about, are we going to get a divorce? Are we going to separate? What are we going to do? And they think, well, hey, let's go to the Biblical Counseling Center at FC and see what God might do. I just think about our kids, maybe our grandkids, one day needing that help. And then once they experience that help through what we're doing right now, creating it, that marriage can be saved, which impacts their kids and their grandkids. And I think multiply that by 1,000 people. There's no other church doing this in East Tennessee, by the way, which is pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. Kind of begin to set the tone in our area for, hey, this is what I think all churches are going to move to this in the future. But I think for us right now, I just blows my mind when I think about the not hundreds, but thousands of people that are going to be blessed and changed because of what we do as a church right here, right now. And that's why I want to ask you to give. And so if we're going to make this plan, if we're going to move in this direction, it's requiring total dependence on God. The key is to acknowledge Him. Lord willing, we're going to do this. Lord willing, we're going to buy the property across the street. Lord willing, we're going to renovate it. Lord willing, we're going to see a lot of lives transformed. We're going to maintain a humble attitude. That means we're going to be flexible because God's going to adjust it. He's going to throw some detours along the way, and we're going to continue to submit to Him. And we've got to execute the next step of faith every single time. And we be faithful right here, right now. And if and when you do your part and you patiently wait for God to do His part, in His time, he will respond. He is a God that is always on time. He's never late. He's never early. He always comes through at just the right time. And so you and I can actually trust Him. We're going to close with a song today. And, you know, instead of leaving during this song like some of you do, I want to let you know, because a lot of new people don't know this, but our culture is that as a church, just because the pastor stops teaching, that doesn't mean the service is over. God's, just because I'm done doesn't mean God's done. Amen? So we do a closing song. Why? Not just to sing, not just to finish. We do that so that the Holy Spirit has room to process the information in your heart and in your mind of what has just been preached. And so this is very intentional. It's a sacred moment. Some people around you might be giving their life to Jesus. They might be thinking about, am I going to stay with my wife? Am I going to leave my wife? Am I going to go bankrupt? They're thinking about heavy things. And when you get up and your keys are clanging and your coffee cup is clanging, you're distracting the Holy Spirit's work in that person's life. And so yes, when we sing, this is for you and I to focus and process what has just been said. You might see one or two people leave, and those are volunteers that are getting in place to actually serve you, right? So that might happen. But for the majority of us, we pray that in this moment, God's work happens right here in our heart. Everybody with me? All right, I'm gonna pray, and we're gonna sing, and we're gonna process what God is doing in our life. Lord Jesus, you are good. You are good. And Lord, as we seek to make plans, God, I pray that we would depend upon you and acknowledge you. God, I pray that we could maintain a humble spirit. I pray that we could be faithful right now. And I know in a room like this, there are people that need to give their life to you, Lord. So would you lead them to take that step of faith today? Lord, there are people that need to serve. There are people that need to apologize. There are people that need to get right with you. There are people that need to be faithful financially. I mean, all over the room and across the board here in Maryville and Knoxville, there are decisions that need to be made. And I trust that your spirit is telling each and every one of us what that would be. So let us be faithful today, God. Let us be faithful today. Lord, I pray that we would give towards the vision offering today and make a difference for this step that you've given to our church. Bless it, Lord, and use it for your kingdom and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We'd love for you to like this video and leave a comment. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe and click the bell so you never miss an upload from Foothills Church. To learn more about FC, you can go to our website, foothillschurch.com, or by clicking the link in the description below.